December 23rd, 2016, the only Festivus 2016 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to show our feats of strength together.
Attention all passengers. Flight 268 in the Milwaukee is going to be delayed due to inclement weather.
Coming up momentarily will be Democratic leader Peter Barca on Community Conversation. But let's take a trip around this day because it is Christmas.
I bet the cold wind's blowing in Milwaukee, and the snow is falling in Eau Claire. And I'm sure up in the Dells, you can hear the Christmas bells in the distance ringing in the air. Madison, the capitals and lights, and all across the dairy land there's peace tonight. It's Christmas in Wisconsin, we're hanging out the wreaths, putting stars on top the trees and putting presents underneath. Home for the holidays is the only place to be. And that's Christmas in Wisconsin for me. Sure, the kids in Fond du Lac are busy building snowmen in the yards. Moms and dads in Baraboo, I know they've been busy too, maxing out their credit cards, waiting for Kris Kringle and Racine. From Kenosha to Superior and every town that's in between. It's Christmas in Wisconsin, the snow is falling down. Lambeau Field is spreads a blanket on that sacred ground. Home for the holidays is the only place to be. And that's Christmas in Wisconsin. Lady Smith, they're courting old man Winter. And Hayward, they're flirting with Jack Frost. And up in Chippewa Falls, they're decking all the halls. They're skating on the river in a cross. You can feel the magic all across the state. Calling me back home, and I can hardly wait. It's Christmas in Wisconsin, we're hanging out the wreaths, putting stars on top the trees and putting presents underneath. Home for the holidays is the only place to be. And that's Christmas in Wisconsin. That's Christmas in Wisconsin. That's Christmas in Wisconsin for me.
All right, folks, we're going to start boarding flight 268 to Milwaukee out of KC7. You light up.
The Mears Brothers on your radio, friend. Christmas in Wisconsin. Yes, indeed, it is Christmas in Wisconsin. It is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable Christmas, Hanukkah, Festivus package. Glenn Klein for a thank God it's Friday morning, full house in the studio and with Community Conversations. Please welcome to the microphones Racine Civic Leader, Mr. David Mack. Good morning, DM.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for caring enough to ask.
Where'd you steal that one from? We also have local civil rights leader Milton Thompson in-house. Hey, Milt.
Hey, Glenn.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you very much. And he is Democratic Assembly Leader from the mighty 64th District. Please welcome back to Community Conversation, Leader Peter Barca. Good morning, Mr. Leader.
Glenn, great to be back on the show with you here. Thanks so much, and Merry Christmas to you and your guests and all of our listening audience out there.
You have got to get a new cell phone. I'm telling you. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst.
Wait, is it really?
Always.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, no. That's terrible.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, not at all.
All right.
Do you want me to call back from a different phone? Would that be helpful?
Do you have a landline handy?
I don't, but I do have a different phone I could call on.
All right.
It might be much better.
All right. Try that, and we will await
with
bated breath. Thank you very much.
I will call right back. I apologize.
No worries.
Hey, Glenn, while we're waiting for Minority Leader Barker to call back.
I'm glad you corrected yourself. He'd like to be Speaker, but that is not going to happen anytime soon.
I don't think so.
No.
I need to give a special shout-out to my grandson, Kybert. It is his first birthday today. He is a Festivus baby.
Really? That's right. December 23rd.
December 23rd.
It's Festivus, yeah.
A year ago, we were all waiting for his arrival into this world, and about 11:15 at night, my daughter was wheeled in. She had to have a cesarean, and she looked at us and said, "He is so beautiful."
He really is beautiful. How big a baby was he?
He was 9 pounds, 11 ounces, I think.
Have you ever seen a picture of this kid, Milt?
Yeah, I have, because I'm a Facebook friend.
He looks just like David, just a little more tan.
Yeah.
If you catch my drift. Let's see if Leader Barca's phone has improved at all. Hello, Leader Barca.
Well, I hope it's much better.
It sounds a little bit better. Doesn't the state budget have like a phone line item in there for you guys, especially for the leader of the Democratic Party?
Only if you're a Republican, they do.
Oh, I see.
Well, you know, being a fiscal conservative, I like to save the state money, so I just use my own phone rather than charge the taxpayers money for a second phone.
It's an Obama phone, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe it's a Russian hack phone.
That's a very good point.
Knowing Peter, he's probably still using the old Motorola flip phone.
All right.
Believe it or not, it's an iPhone, believe it or not.
Where are you, like in a drive-thru right now?
No, you know, I'm at Gateway Cafe across from Gateway Technical College today. I've got a couple meetings here, and I'm in between meetings now, and so I stepped out in order to do our interview.
You're working on Festivus?
I'm working. I didn't know today was Festivus, but thank you for informing me. I'm well aware of that infamous holiday that the Costanzas had.
That's right. George Costanza's dad, Frank, came up with the holiday.
That's it.
Kramer embraced it, and now it is the pre-Christmas Eve celebration all over the planet, Festivus. You have any grievances to air, Mr. Leader?
Do I have any what?
Well, that's one of the traditions of Festivus. You air it's the airing of grievances. That's one.
Airing of grievances. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me. Well, my grievances are hopefully have been taken care of by a federal court who ruled that they agree with the plaintiffs essentially that we have the most partisan redistricting maps in the entire country, and they said they're unconstitutional and need to be redrawn. So. That would be my biggest grievance on behalf of my citizens, Kenosha and Racine area, that they've drawn maps that disenfranchise people and guarantee a majority for the Republicans and guarantee that you no longer have the kind of democracy that we expect, where citizens choose their political leaders rather than politicians choosing their voters.
So, what would you say to the Republicans who know very well that if the Democrats were in charge, they would do the same thing. And all over the country, they have in the redistricting and the gerrymandering of Democratic controlled state legislatures.
Well, first, I would say that I don't believe it's true that if the Democrats in Wisconsin were in charge, we would have drawn maps that are this egregious. I mean, my district looks essentially like a Nike Swiss. They've got upside down L's. In Kenosha, Racine, where you have historic boundaries where for 100, 150 years, each county had potentially their own state senator, and they were competitive seats, and they made it so that, as the Kenosha News and Racine Journal Times report, you might as well not vote after the primary because you already know who's going to win. I do not believe we would have done that. But regardless, I know that it has been that way by Democrats in some states, and it's wrong, no matter who does it. Because one other state does it, it sounds like a child saying, well, you know, my cousin did that, so I'm going to do it. I mean, you know, you should do what's right and proper and to guarantee democracy for the people, not model the most egregious examples of other states and then make it even worse.
The Democratic Party really has been significantly reduced all over the country, and I think in part it's because there are middle-class people, the working class of this country, generally speaking, sees the hypocrisy on both sides of the political aisle, and frankly, they are more tuned in with, as you commented at the beginning of this discussion, with fiscally conservative viewpoints, and your Democratic Party is not articulating fiscally conservative viewpoints.
I don't necessarily agree with that at all, Glenn. You know, when you'd have to give me some examples. For us, we definitely believe in having fiscally prudent government. For me personally, my favorite committee is the Audit Committee, where people get a better bang for the buck, where we don't spend money on programs that don't work and do away with programs of that sort. So I don't believe that's the case, quite frankly.
No, I'm not saying it's the case for you. I'm just saying that the leaders of your party nationally, which of course set the tone, people like now, they just defeated Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, those people are not centrist when it comes to fiscal policies.
Well, you know, my experience in the Congress, when I served there, was that Democrats and Republicans both had people on every end of the spectrum many members of Congress, I think, were not fiscally prudent, and Republicans and Democrats alike, but they'd set different priorities. I mean, Republicans would spend on wasteful defense programs that the Joint Chiefs of Staff didn't even want, and I would acknowledge that there have been Democrats that proposed to spend money on programs that have not proven to be effective. You know, it's a matter of priorities, though. But, you know, when I was in the Congress, the National Taxpayers Union rated me the most fiscally conservative Democrat in the country in terms of voting to cut spending on across the spectrum on programs that weren't working.
He is Democratic Assembly Leader Peter Barca from the mighty 64th District. This is Glenn Klein in the studio on WRJN's Community Conversation for a Thank God It's Friday, along with David Mack and local civil rights leader Milt Thompson.
Peter, this is Milt.
Got a good crew there today.
It's a full house.
Good people.
Janet Hoff.
People I consider friends.
Janet Hoff made cookies, so we were drawing them like flies.
Now you tell me. I would have been in there had I gone.
Yeah.
So, Peter, I have a question, and I guess it deals with the national political scene. Before the show, David Mack and I were talking, and we were talking about the Democratic Party, both being Republicans, who would vote for Democrats if Democrats were more moderate, let's say on social issues in particular. We were talking about the ex-governor of Pennsylvania, Mr. Casey, and the fact that when it comes to social issues, let's say one for me, abortion, if there were pro-life Democrats who were fiscally conservative, I might consider voting for them. But the Democratic Party has tended to squeeze out a lot of those kinds of people from prominent national offices. What do you think?
Well, it goes back, Milt, to the purging of the Blue Dog Democrats in Congress, where you look at the Democratic Party today, and it's extremely liberal. And Peter, you would have probably been one of those purged because of your strong fiscal conservative views.
Well, let me say this, and you know, I truly believe what's purged people and people who perhaps have a little bit more centrist views, more than any other factor has been these partisan redistricting maps, because people in both parties are more worried about getting a primary than they are about losing to somebody in the other across the aisle, because they know that the districts have been drawn in such a way so that, you know, virtually every one of them, you know, are solid for one party or the other. And that's not good for democracy. I mean, that's what's part of what's led to such polarization in this country.
We have two examples in the news. In fact, we just heard you on the Wisconsin Radio Network news at the top of the hour. And we're talking about two issues right now in the state that are being led by Democratic protest. Number one, it's the transgender bathroom issue, where the state feels that that the state should be able to keep people who are transgender out of bathrooms that aren't their biologically assigned bathroom. And then this whole thing about splitting up the DNR and forming, frankly, another government agency. Isn't this the wrong direction for the Democratic Party right now, given the tone and the tenor of the political debate, not only in this state, but nationwide?
Well, I'm shocked you bring that up. Those are not initiatives Democrats are bringing forward. Those are initiatives Republicans are bringing forward. I mean, the issue is that Republicans have taken their eye completely off the ball. We have the most diminished middle class in this in Wisconsin, in the entire country. We have the fourth worst roads, the worst entrepreneurship. And those are bills that Republicans are bringing forward, not Democrats. That's what's so amazing to me. I mean, you know, if you look at the agenda that we've seen come forward in that last week or two by Republicans, Democrats are proposing bills that try and rebuild the middle class, try and create jobs. Our last session, our first 15 bills for 2015 were all economic development bills, try and build our economy. So those are Republican initiatives that you're talking about. You got Republican lawmakers that have authored, they are proposing both of those initiatives you just described.
No, but,
so they're not Democratic bills.
No, but my point is that the Democrats, given the tone that's in the country right now, and I'm not taking personally aside on either issue, but to people are worried about jobs right now, not about transgender bathrooms.
That's exactly right, and that's why Democrats, you will see, will propose jobs bills, will propose initiatives to try and improve entrepreneurship. Republicans are the ones who are introducing bills for transgender bathrooms to try and take away local control and decide to create some state policy on this. So we're worried about what kind of bureaucracy we have, and actually,
Mr. Leader, Republicans
are creating two DNRs instead of one. Those are Republican initiatives. Democrats aren't proposing these things.
Republicans don't want transgender bathrooms.
No, what they're trying to do is they are trying to determine for local school boards what their policy should be. This is a bill introduced by a Republican. I Kenosha Unified didn't ask for this policy. Racine Unified didn't say, hey, state, will you come in and help us determine what our bathroom policies are going to be? That's the Republicans that did that. Nobody's asking for this kind of initiative that I know of. So why the Republicans are wasting their time on things like this when we have the most diminished middle class in the entire country here in Wisconsin, the fourth worst roads, and the worst entrepreneurship is beyond my wildest comprehension.
Peter, I think the part of the issue for Republicans when it comes to transgender and having been in education is when the president in the Department of Education stepped into the fray and pretty much strong-armed school districts with the threat that if they did not open up bathrooms to the identity that a person believes they have biologically, that they were risking losing federal funds. So I understand what you're saying as far as local control, but to be honest with you, when the Obama administration jumped in and did that, it trumped, no pun intended, local control completely. and made it clear that no matter how you felt or the Democrats in the state legislature, that Big Brother was going to step in. And that was distressing to me at the time I was an interim superintendent, because we had no say whatsoever in it unless we wanted to lose federal funds. So I think there's a layer to this that even goes beyond what state legislators wanted in that particular instance.
Well, that may be. I'm not aware of that. And I'm not saying you're wrong, because you're usually a very important person. So I am unaware of that. But I can tell you this. I am with school board members virtually every month from either Kenosha or Racine. And never once have they told me, Peter, what I really like you to focus our attention on is transgender bathrooms. They're not asking for legislation, so I'm not sure that the Republican state legislators should be entering the fray here.
But, Peter, we're also looking
Obama's leading office, so if what you're saying is the truth, that should no longer be a concern.
We're also looking at the theme.
Hopefully the Republicans will get off this obsession with these kinds of issues and focus on the fact that Wisconsinites deserve better than what they're getting currently under Scott Walker. And frankly, they know it. You know, all the polls show that people by a good majority believe we're going in the wrong direction. His approval ratings have been hovering around 40% because they know something is amiss, and something is amiss. We have the fourth worst roads, the worst entrepreneurship, the most diminished middle class. Things are not working well in Wisconsin right now, and I agree totally with Glenn's frame. We should be focused on those major issues that people do care about.
He is Democratic leader Peter Barca from the 64th Assembly District. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. The great Tom Carco's news is coming up momentarily. So let us agree or finish on a major agreement, Leader Barca. Who do you like tomorrow for the Packers-Vikings game, and where will you be watching it?
Well, I like the Packers. We host Christmas Eve at the Barca family for my side of the family, and Christmas Day we drive up to where my in-laws had a farm for so many years in Friendship, Wisconsin, right outside of Fond du Lac, and celebrate with my wife's family. So it's a great tradition we've had for over 30 years, and we'll watch those Packers and cheer them on to victory because they are on a roll, and they're hot, and they're confident, and I think they're going to win handily over Minnesota.
One thing that I think all Wisconsinites can agree on is that last point by the Democratic leader of the State Assembly, Peter Barca, the Packers will triumph over the dreaded Purple People Eaters tomorrow at Lambeau Field. Thank you very much for your time, as always.
Merry Christmas,
thank you.
David and Milt and Glenn. And Glenn, thank you for all the good work you've done to bring the news and information to our citizens of the St. Kitts area. And Merry Christmas to all, and Happy New Year.
And Happy Festivus, Leader Barca.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
Home and auto bundle.